Now let us return to the 10 necessary steps in starting an industrial safety program. In the first half, we considered the first 6 steps. So we're ready for the 7th step, mechanical safeguarding. When a company energetically and thoroughly takes every precaution against mechanical injury, it's the best evidence in the world to the workers that management is in real earnest about safety. The point of operation on such machines as saws, power presses, and grinding wheels should be effectively guarded. All power transmission hazards, such as belts, pulleys, and shafting, should likewise be guarded. When new machines or equipment are purchased, management should demand that they be so designed that hazards are not merely covered up, but are eliminated. Invariably, efficiency and production are increased on such machines.
Is it actually possible to eliminate such accidents?
Many companies, Mr. Ellis, have practically done away with machinery accidents. For example, one company, which has pioneered an engineering revision of their power presses, has almost entirely eliminated all power press accidents.
Just how bad was it before?
Their average was 36 fingers a year.
And what about production?
The same company's production has been increased 60%. And I can add that many other industrial concerns could expect similar results.
Machinery guarding is a big subject. Where can we get more information about it?
The National Safety Council and the United States Department of Labor have a number of pamphlets which will give you excellent information. Insurance companies, state departments of labor, and others have valuable data available. Once the safety program is underway, an alert and safety-conscious management will undertake the improvement or redesign of machinery, equipment, and processes with the intention of entirely eliminating hazards. Corrective guarding produces good results, but more fundamental changes in machinery design should eventually be the goal of every management. Provide facilities for first aid. This is the 8th step in starting a safety program. Injured workers should be provided instant care. All too frequently, small minor injuries, such as cuts, bruises, burns, strains, become major injuries because of infection or inattention. Even in the smallest companies, a well-stocked first aid kit can be provided. Some person should be in charge to see that it is kept well-stocked and in a sterile condition. At least one or two regular employees should be well-trained in first aid and be made responsible for treating minor injuries. In larger companies, a special first aid dispensary should be provided under the supervision of a doctor with one or more graduate nurses employed to care for the injured workers.
Well, how are you going to get all your workers behind a deal like this?
Well, that's the very next step, Mr. Payne, and the most important one. After the company has made a real start toward correcting unsafe conditions, a general announcement should be made to all employees with the aim in view of securing their active cooperation. Most accidents, they should be told, result from two causes: unsafe conditions and unsafe practices. The company intends to do everything in its power to eliminate unsafe conditions, and the employees will be expected to work safely and fully cooperate in the elimination of unsafe practices.
Maybe they won't know what the unsafe practices are.
Well, quite often they don't, Mr. Payne. That problem is met with step number 10, a well-organized educational program intended to inform not only the workers, but management too. Educational activities are many in type and character. There should be regular safety meetings of workers, often attended by members of the managerial staff. Safety committees to formulate policies, maintain interest, and conduct regular inspections are likewise important. Safety posters and bulletin boards help to maintain interest and keep the subject of safety foremost in the minds of everyone. There are many publications which should be provided for employees to take home and study at their leisure. Contests between departments or on some other basis engender the spirit of competition and keep both management and men on their safety toes, so to speak. Excellent films are available, not only for helping foremen in conducting effective safety programs, but in training and stimulating workers in safe practices.
Mr. Randall, how can we compare our safety record with other companies or with the national average? We'd like to measure our safety accomplishments as we go along with this program.
That is what frequency rates are for. Anyone can figure the frequency rate as easy as keeping a batting average. The frequency rate is the number of lost time injuries per million man hours. A lost time injury is one that keeps a man from returning to work on his next regularly scheduled shift. With a 40-hour week and a 50-week year, 500 men would work a million man hours in 1 year. Now, 100 lost time injuries would constitute a frequency rate of 100.
Is that good?
No, sir. That's very bad. No frequency rate above 10 should ever be considered as good. And many industries, even hazardous ones, have rates of zero for years at a time.
And it can be done.
It certainly can be done.
The engineer was right. It can be done by any company. And before we close this very brief presentation, actually, we've only touched the high spots, let's note just a few things the foremen can do. Progressive employers have come to realize that the foreman is a key man in safe production. In the eyes of the workman, he represents the company. Management plans are ineffective unless the foreman carries them out. So far as the workers are concerned, the foreman is the leader, and they will follow the leader if he is competent and sincere in his safety instructions. The foreman must know safety. He can study, get into safety training courses, consult with the safety director, solicit suggestions from the workers. He can discover unsafe practices by observing workers at work and can then instruct them in safe methods. With new workers, he can, with tact and a friendly attitude, impress the men that here is a shop where everybody is pulling together to prevent accidents. In wartime, many new people are taking over occupations for which they have had no previous experience. The alert foreman will make sure, by thorough instruction and vigilant supervision, that such new people know how to perform their job safely. The foreman will make systematic inspections of his own department and will strive to eliminate every dangerous place or practice. The responsibility of seeing that adequate guards are provided and always used and kept in repair is an urgent matter of good foremanship. Keeping tools and machines in proper repair and adjustment is another way foremen can maintain a safe department and contribute to increased war production. The foreman can insist that all injuries, even trivial ones, receive prompt first aid. And he will assume the large responsibility for holding department safety meetings to keep up interest and train workers in safe performance. To every man who represents management in an industrial plant, president, manager, superintendent, safety director, or foreman, comes in these days of World War II the grave responsibility for preventing the stupendous and unnecessary manpower losses through injury. What many great concerns have accomplished can be accomplished by all. These millions of loyal workers, upon whose efforts rests the outcome of the struggle at arms, will invariably, you may be sure, follow the leader. And that means the company president, manager, superintendent, and all foremen.